Okay, and finally, on to the mech section. So, I pulled out one of the cards that was, or a lot of people were at least enthusing about at the time. I think maybe they were a little zealous. It's possibly not as good as people thought at the time. But the card is the Black Lanner Prime mech. It's a unit. It's an Omni mech. It's clan generic, so any of the clan factions can play it. It's a 7-cost 3A, 3M, 3T, which is quite heavy on the buyouts, and it's quite heavy at 7-cost. However, it is a 1-7-4 overheat 2+2, and it has ECM. And in the wonderful parody of overheat, the ECM reduces the overheat damage. So you can actually get 6 damage out of this and it doesn't hurt itself, which is quite nice. It's a bit hard to get on the table at 7, but it is quite durable. It's one of the things that you might think, you know, a couple of those in the deck, bit of fast cover, bit of support. It's not going to change the world, but it's not bad. It's probably how I'd describe it.
It's a rare slot, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So let's compare the Black Lanner Prime to the Grendel Prime. Wasn't the Grendel Prime released same set?
Okay, you want to do the Grendel Prime? Well, actually, I'll just bring it forward in the notes a couple of sections because it was one of the ones going a little later. The Grendel Prime is a 7-1A-2M-2T, so slightly better buyouts, but same cost. It's a 1-6-5, so not quite as durable. Overheat 2+2, so you get 7 attack out of that, and it has jump, and it's fast. So the reason the Grendel was preferred generally over the Black Lanner is, yes, availability, because it wasn't rare, but second, with 7 damage, it can kill resources. So you would actually build quite a resource-heavy deck in order to go and deploy this on turn 3, having gone resource mech, resource, 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 and thrown it out there, knowing that on turn 4 you could go out and destroy one of your opponent's resources, or probably their fast mech if they've got a blocker, because it dishes out quite a bit of damage. So the difference of 1 point in this game makes an awful lot of difference.
And that it has jump, which pairs with risky combat jump is fantastic. Well, preventing damage and even getting even better attack. So the risky combat jump will be absorbed with overheat. And
jumping absorbs heat.
Yeah, jumping. But let's talk about some Inner Sphere. The concept of this C3 intelligent targeting computer is finally brought out for the Inner Sphere. And we have multiple units that put together can actually be a fantastic deck and did feature in a World's Championship deck. Isn't that right, Mark?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the fast units first. We'll start with the generic Owens OW1 for 2-cost with an assembly and tactics buyout. You get a 0-6-1 fast unit with jump and C3. Well, you're paying 2 for a unit with no armor and 1 attack, not so great. But with C3, if you go in pairs of 2, that gets an additional bonus 2 attack. So 2 attack if you're in a group. 3 damage on a fast unit with 6 structure, not so bad. Let's talk about the second fast unit. This is Karita only, much more hard to come by since it's a rare slot. The Owens 1D, it does cost 3 now. It's everything the same as that Owens 1, but it gives you a NARC ability. And NARC, of course, gives you the ability to subtract 1 from a missile die roll. Well, you look at those Owens and you pair them with the Firestarter, the next unit I want to talk about. This is a Firestarter FS9, I believe it's the OD, with 2 assembly, 1 tactics buyout. This is a unit with 1 armor, 6 structure, 2 attack. It has jump, C3, and more importantly, ECM. and long range one. So a whole lot of value in a four cost unit, but looking at it by itself, 162 with ECM, it's a 262, not so hot for four. You pair that with the first Owens we talked about. Now you're talking about a combo team that's a 163 for the Owens, 264 for the Firestarter. They go in against a stockpile and they're doing seven damage. That's pretty fantastic. And if you block, they're able to do one through to the target. Another coming in at a four cost is the Blackjack. This is a Blackjack that's generic to the Inner Sphere. It's the BJ2, I think, 0B. It has a jump, it has C3, and just like that Firestarter, it has one long range. Gives it a no ECM, but it does have plus one more structure and plus one more base attack. So it does five when it's paired with another C3 unit and has the ability to do the long range if blocked. Then we get into the fatter units, and C3 is commonly found in the Karita. A lot of these you'll notice are going to be Karita, and there's a reason for that. The Karita has the C3 for targeting specifically for missiles. They're all going to be slow. We've got the Avatar at five cost with a one tactics buyout. This is an AB1 Avatar. It has your missile one. It's got a little overheat. It's got the C3, and it's a 282. But even better than that is the Sunder with a six cost, and it's going to have the assembly tactics ammunitions buyout, but that's okay. It has the missiles, and it's a 3-10-3. That's pretty chunky now. And finally, we have a true missile boat in the Naginata, a seven cost with assembly and tactics buyout. Missile four and C3. Now you're talking. Now you look at that Owens 1D along with the Naginata, and you're looking at a possible C3 Karita missile deck. Too bad the Naginata of is rare, and so is that Owens 01D. So you're going to have to open up quite a few packs of either Mech Warrior or Commander's Edition in order to find those cards. But C3 made a splash. The most prominent ones that I would say are the original Owens, the 01. One, the two cost Owens, and that Firestarter, the four cost Firestarter with ECM and long range. Those two paired at six apiece, that puts 12 C3 units in your deck. Those two combined will do seven damage. Those together are an eight or a nine for quality. The rest, four or five. I would never make a missile deck. I hate die rolls, at least as a win condition.
The problem for me on this is how this is costed out, because that second three cost Owens, which is three cost because you've added NARC to it, which isn't useful in this respect, is rare, and they were very hard to get hold of. So all of a sudden, you've either got to run Karita or you're missing your three cost slot. So yeah, you've got your two cost Owens, you've got your four cost Firestarter. Your Blackjack at four with no buyouts is actually not bad at all. It's quite durable, and it's got jump, and there are all sorts of things you can do with that. It's not bad. But that three cost slot is missing. And the Owens for me ties a lot more with missiles. And of course, you've got A and T mechs of needing missiles, which require M. And then all of a sudden, you've diverged your resource base and just to get some decent die rolls in. And it doesn't work, and it gets horrible. The Owens, the Firestarter, and the Blackjack, the two cost Owens, that is, give you the formation of a pretty decent C3 deck. And then there are a few more units that turned up later, which allowed you to spread that out a little more. At this point, it was probably playable. Whether you play the Karita and that three cost Owens, I'm not sure. What do you play in that three cost slot? That's the question, and that's probably why it never became overly successful. And the other problem with C3, it's built into the bonus being in pairs. You have to attack together. That's so much easier, or so much more easier to predict, and arguably it's so much more easier to handle, because your missions like Heavy Fog, for example, are going to affect not one unit but two units. Well, you're going to be guaranteed of affecting two units. And Heavy Fog just basically nullifies C3 out anyway. So it could be quite weak in the early game where you hadn't actually got much of a board presence, because you'd only got one unit out there, or something like that. And yeah, it was viable. Yes, it's playable. Don't go down the missile route. Stay with the basic damage. And to be honest, with Owen's Firestarter and the Blackjack, you could turn that into any house you want. They're generic. So if you're going to build a C3 deck, that would be where I'd start looking, and then add whatever else takes your fancy, but steer clear of the missiles.
Agreed. The next mech that we'd like to talk about is the Cerebrus. This is the MRV2 variant of Cerebrus, so it's not those Merrick ones that you might see later on, but this is the top end of the Inner Sphere deck. You might have one, maybe two, in a deck that isn't designed with double overtimes, field construction sites, advanced manufacturing techniques, assault mess specialist. Those are all the cards that I'm thinking in a row how to get this out faster than paying the full nine for it. But it does pair well with Solaris Contacts and McMallet. If you're looking at Bear McKenzie's Hammer, being able to swing and swing and swing at eight and being able to deal two long range if they block is pretty fantastic. I rated a seven. It is a good Inner Sphere slow mech for the top end.
That's Cerberus, Gustav.
Yes, Cerberus, not Cerebrus. Yeah, Cerberus. Yeah.
A name familiar to the Mass Effect players out there. But
The damage on this is great with eight damage. You might say 3-7 might be a little weak given the size of it, but let's face it, once you've got it on the table and you'll build a deck around it, you'll put spiders in, for example, which are L as well, and maybe a few other things to give you a bit of survivability, and a few of those L-based resource boosters that came later in Arsenal and that. And you could churn these out quite quickly. And as soon as you've got something like eight hitting you, then you know that's going to hurt. The other thing with this is that if you go down L&T route, then single combat with this is a very nice combination to wipe out anything that might just get in the way. So this could see play. You'd build decks around it, or this and maybe another big heavy, you know, maybe the Gunslinger or the Thunderhawk or the Pillager or something or other like that from various other sets. But this would be the cheaper cost of the two heavies or two series of heavy you'd put in there or assaults. And yeah, it would see play. It's a decent mech. And then you compare it to our next pick, which is the Cauldron Born A, which is even more expensive at 10 cost and has a 3 munitions buyout on top of that and is a 2-7-4. Compared to a 3-7-8. Additionally, we have an overheat of 6+6. So I'm practically killing myself in order to overheat, although I do a nice 10 damage. Oh, and on top of that, I get an alpha+2 as well. Walking time bomb is the phrase here. If you ever get a red line on this, yes, it's going to hurt, but it's not going to last that long. It is a bit Cauldron Born in the respect that there is a bucket load of bang, not a lot of buck with it. It costs way too much. It's never going to get much in the way of play. You're paying way too much for not a lot of reward. Shame, really.
But Mech Warrior does give Boom Wolf a huge boost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So there is some love for the clan.
There is love for the clan in the form of Phantom A and B. The Prime and the D, and I think the C were in the previous set, although the C may come out in Arsenal, I'm not quite sure on that. But these basically elevate Wolf from being a slow, fast deck, and by that I mean your Dasher comes out, but then your Fenris Prime doesn't have Dash, and neither do any of your other Fenrises, into a faster Dash deck in the respect that Phantom A and Phantom B have that Dash ability. They go straight out there, hit the patrol region, and they're good to go straight off the bat. The B is pretty good with only single A, M, and T buyouts for a 1-5-3 Dash, which is very nice. The A is the problem because you've got a 2A, 3M, 3T buyout, which is pretty nasty if you don't get those in play. However, as we said earlier, at the time with Infernal Missile Retrofit, it was easy to form or turn the B into a 1-5-4, and all of a sudden you're into Magic 7 territory, and you're good to go and go and pick off what you want, whether it's hunt, resource denial, or go and hit the stockpile for whatever else it is. In comparison to the Fenrises, you're losing one structure, but you're gaining dash. And that dash and that speed is vital in the success of this deck, given the speed of everything else coming out at the time. So they were welcome additions. They were the only really strong clan cards at the time. I know things like Merchant Cast came along later, but they needed other cards. These came straight out there and had an immediate effect. It's just that they're Wolf, and that was a lot of your clan choice at the time, was Wolf or not.
Yeah.
We have the biggest mech in the Inner Sphere coming out in this set, the Prometheus Direwolf at 20 base cost, no buyouts. You get 4 armor, 11 structure, 10 base attack, and overheat 4+6, and an Alpha Strike 2. The built-in intimidating paint job, all engaged units with Prometheus get -1 attack. That is not your, that's been ruled, that is not your units, but all of the opponent's units are engaged with it. But it's just never going to see play. I mean, even in a double overtime deck, that requires 10 resources down on top of it, plus a double overtime. It's better to put 5 resources and double overtime onto an immediate gunslinger, right, Mark, than to wait yet another turn to try and get the Prometheus out. But in this set, there is a contract that, remember, you know, we did mercenaries last time, but now there's a contract that allows you to place a mech into play, and that contract is the contract with Hanson Rough Riders. It's one of the most expensive contracts in the game. It's up there with Wolf's Dragoons for cost at 5 plus the 6 politics, 2 armor, 4 structure, 2 base attack, and allows you to tap and put any mech card from your hand, we're featuring the Prometheus Direwolf here, into play in your patrol region, and that mech joins the battle. Use this ability during the battle, and if that mech receives 5 or more damage, scrap the contract with Hanson Rough Riders, and that mech, otherwise return the mech to your hand at the end of the mission. So this combo, contract with Hanson Rough Riders and Prometheus, gives you an opportunity to play a mission card that you would normally not otherwise play, and that mission card is End Run. So you go in with a smaller mech, just one fast mech, and your opponent blocks with one fast mech. Okay, no damage is going to be dealt until you tap contract with Hanson Rough Riders, throw down the Prometheus, play End Run, overheat the Prometheus, Alpha Strike the Prometheus, and you have just done 18 damage to his stock unopposed, and your Prometheus isn't scrapped because it only overheated for 4. Consists with Hanson Rough Riders allows you to put that right back in your hand at the end of the mission. So from a Johnny's perspective, that's a fun combo. And that's probably the only way you're going to get Prometheus on the table doing damage outside of some double overtime shenanigans.
Gotcha. I might disagree. I think there are a few other methods, but it's definitely a fun method in order. And a lot of people will look at that and think, what the hell's going on with that contract? Why is that in the deck? And then all of a sudden they'll realize when they were in a world of pain. Obviously, you've got to play with P for the contract, and you've got to pay the upkeep for it as well. So, bit of fun Sunday afternoon for me.
That's okay.
So I get to choose a big mech as well, and I've chosen something that's a little out of maybe curve for the set. I went for a Jade Falcon mech, and the interesting Takina C, and there is a lot of debate over the Takina C's abilities, and I'm not sure if we ever got to the final resolution of that. Turkey C is a 12-cost unit. It's a 3 armor, 11 structure, 8 damage unit. So 12 resources for 8 damage, not too bad, not quite in line with our Cerberus, but it'll survive our Cerberus. It's slow, but with no asset buyout, it's arguably one of those mechs that you might consider for your clan big mech deck. The artwork, again, is by my favourite guy, Franz Verhinkel. If you actually see this up close, it's absolutely phenomenal. Get a copy if you can. But the interesting thing, as well as the jump on something so heavy, is the fact that it has AP, armor piercing, and long range. And it's the only unit in the game that has both. Now, AP says it deals plus one damage to any target other than a mech. And long range says if Takinasi attacks and is blocked, it can deal one of its damage to the target. So the question now is, does the AP apply? Mm. Can I use long range and get plus one on the long range? Because it just says plus one damage. Is my damage now 9 or is it still 8? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can't remember where it went to. And to be honest,
I'm with the two. Like the card, I think it does two.
Much as I like the card, I don't play with it that often and it doesn't really come up, but it's still an interesting debate.
Yeah, I think it'll do two. It blocks. You can do 7 to the card that blocks it, and you can deal the 2 to the target. When it hits, boom.
Yeah, maybe. Final mech choice is Gustav's.
Yeah, this is my favorite Inner Sphere fast unit in the game. It's the Wraith. TR1. For 4 cost with Assembly and Tactics buyout, you get a fast unit with 1 armor, 7 structure, and 3 attack. This is an amazing unit for value. Of course, it's limited to Lao and Merrick. The assets are completely on point. Most of your decks are going to be featuring Assembly and Tactics. The jump ability is never to be underestimated in that you can give yourself additional initiative if you need it to determine where and what options to use. Also, it gives you risky combat jump, which was one of our favorite missions of all time. This plus a Chaos March veteran pilot that comes out in a later set can one-shot kill one of those phantoms that we previously talked about, the 1/5s. I rank this an 8. This is my go-to fast unit in any invading clan pilot deck. I love the Wraith. I'm a huge fan. And if you have the Wraith, you should be playing it. And it's not a rare, so you should have a couple copies of them.
It's good. It's solid. It's hard to get rid of. Stick a civilian settlement behind this, and you know it's going to be painful. Because these things stick around. And if you get the right bonuses on them, then it'll take more than 1 or 2 units to deal with it. It's a bit pricey maybe at 4 for a fast mech, but compare it to a Phantom B. Okay, you've got dash, but you've got 1/5/3 dash versus 1/7/3 jump. Munitions versus no munitions buyout. It's good. It's solid. Put one of these in a deck and it'll do you proud. There
Excellent.
We go.
Yeah, ending on the high note.
Always nice to.
Well, we were going to end on the Junkers, right? We're going to throw out what's our candidate for worst card?
Worst card in the set. Oh, gold. Worst card in the set. Well, what do we give a 1 to?
Charge.
Yeah, charge has got to be the worst card in the set for me.
Charge.
Evasive maneuvers for Gus.
Yep. Charge and evasive maneuvers are the worst cards.
So what about favorite art for the sets? We got some good ones in here.
See, you're talking Franz von Hinkel territory. He's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I love, if you look at slide 61 on our What's It, that's lifted from his website. It's the Turkey Sea.
Mm-hmm.
The red salamander with the fire salamander with absolutely everything blazing. I mean, that looks stunning. Brutal punch. I've got to admit, I have a soft spot for the card because I love the art.
And I love the quote. The quote is fantastic. Yeah, it's slide 50 and it's fantastic. That artwork is great for brutal punch.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
and who doesn't want to play with Massacaris and Atlases? I mean, when we're talking about the world class assault mechs, they're some of the most fun to play with if you can get them out there.
Yeah,
brutal punch it is.
I Shinyadama. I like that art. I like the style.
Yeah,
cool character. Well, excellent.
Highly recommended on my list.
Very cool. Excellent. Well, that's another set down. Next up will be Arsenal, once we get to it. And yeah, actually I have some fun stuff. I have like a little trio of content I was able to connect with. James Ernst, who was, I don't know if you recall on the Facebook page, guys, that I think Michael had posted a letter from James where someone had reached out to him because James was involved in the early development, actually before Richard Garfield hopped in and took over, you know, because of legalese, you know, they had essentially, when Fassett signed the contract with Wizards, you know, part of that contract was that Garfield had to be the developer on it. And Wizards had actually developed the structure of a game without Richard. And then Fassett came in and was like, not acceptable. And so they had to, well, they said in the letter, they said that they had scrapped it and restarted. But, you know, from talking to James about kind of what, a little bit about what the first kind of draft of Battletech looked like. You know, a lot of Richard took a lot of it and kind of transferred in. But interesting conversation. I've actually had that talk a couple months ago, but I've been saving it because I wanted to kind of pair it with our conversation, get a little bit of a CCG theme for a week or two on the channel. But that'll be a cool podcast to share with everybody.
Really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. You know, unfortunately, it was 25 years ago and it was a month worth of work from James. So his memory wasn't too spot on, but, you know, we were able to find a couple of fun things to talk about. But that'll be good. Well, thanks, guys. We'll get this edited. I'll get this shared for everybody. Hopefully get some more players in there. You know, if you're just listening and you're not a player, you know, definitely find your way over to the Facebook group. That's Battletech CCG on Facebook, and you know, that's where we hang out. That's where we talk about this this great game.
Yeah, and you can play for free. There are links to mm-hmm. to how the systems and software available to play for free and enjoy Battletech online with people from around the world.
Definitely. And Lackey, yeah, it's not difficult to install. You know, Mark and I have a game that's posted, so if you want to kind of see some gameplay, I want to get you guys, you know, to record a game on Lackey. I want you know, Silly Wiz and Champion Solaris, you know, gameplay for Lackey. So pull out your best decks.
Not a serious barred, game.
That's no fun. That's not. You can't be pulling out our best decks. I think it's going to have to be a random die roll off of the pre-built decks to make it fun.
When I ran the draft tournament, I created 100 decks. And then literally people picked random numbers between 1 and 100. And I gave them 3 choices and then they selected one from them or something or other like that. I can't quite remember. But literally have 100 draft decks and you just pick one and use it. It's content kind of thing. It could be up for streaming it. You never know.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Record it and stream it and put it on YouTube and
stream
Twitch.
Stream it live.
Yeah, there might be a few edits needed.
Yeah, there might be some strange time zones involved as well, I suspect.
Yeah, that's true. Know,
I'll play Gus before he's had his coffee. That's fair.
Yeah, for those listening, we're coming from Mark in the UK to Gustav in Alaska. So it's a logistical challenge to get this. But Gustav's very kind to get up at 5 a.m. so that we can record this at a decent hour. So a special shout out to him for that. But I will say there are two things I want to do with Renegade HVG this year. One, I want to organize and host an Alpha Strike tournament up in the Northeast in Massachusetts, where I'm based. Maybe it will go into New Hampshire for the hosting. But I also want to host a Battletech CCG tournament. I'm not sure how I want to kind of do it, but I want to sponsor some prizes and some cool swag through Renegade HVG, try to get some activity over on that page and, you know, maybe spread it out over, you know, a couple months, you know, make it a multi-season.
Have a look at smash.gg.
Okay.
Because it's online tournament. It does all the pairings and everything else. And literally you just enroll people and it sorts it all out for you. You set your own time frame and it does all the tournament organizing, pairing and rankings and everything.
Very cool. I'd love to do something like that over Lackey so that we can play some people. Portugal, João Grasso might play. I mean, you never know.
Excellent. Well, we'll try to make it happen. And I've got some cool prizes in mind. I think I'll, you know, make up some stuff. I've collected enough lots of cards that I think one of the prizes will be a booster, basically every release of the card. So a booster from every set plus a starter, you know, original starter box, all sealed, you know, some cool prize ideas, you know.
Your own custom Travis created card.
I have some of those, you know, and, you know, for those that are listening that haven't
Champion of Solaris, the Travis
giveaways. Yeah,
the Travis version of Champion of Solaris. I play that.
Funny. Well, I got that Natasha K, you know, that I've been playing with that looks absolutely gorgeous. And I saw your post about wanting to get one of those. The versions I have, the version I posted, I've stopped just kind of commenting on this, but I almost always post versions of my custom cards that are like for my revised game, which have different costing, slightly different rules. And so, and all the ones I give away are costed, you know, with the traditional rules. So I'll get, I'll print up kind of a modified one for you, for you guys, and I'll send it your way. That has all the keywords and all the traditional stuff.
I'll put her in the Wolf's Dragoons deck.
Excellent. Let's do it. Yeah. And the Black Lady, you know, I'll send you the Black Lady and, I've got a letter on its way to you now. I mean, who knows? The last box that came between you and me, you know, apparently took a swim in the ocean, you know, on its way. You know, if people are interested, look on the Facebook group. I took pictures. I don't even know what happened to that box. It was crazy.
I'm glad that I cellophaned each, you know, stack of hundreds of cards. If I hadn't done that, it would have been a complete loss. Done.
Yeah, it had to have been either dropped in the ocean or something, because it was full of like hardened salt, you know, and it showed up 2 months late. It was full of like salt deposits, you know, it's like,
it did come from an island in the Pacific. So
yeah, it was, it's like one of those where you just, you know, you have those little stories where you like, you know, there's some kind of artistic, like short movies that people make where it's like this journey of this, you know, water bottle through the ocean or whatever, you know, it is, where you kind of see what happens and ends up like, you know, you could totally make like a short movie, whatever happened to that.
One box, flat rate card. Box that took 2 months long to get there. When it showed up, it had been split open and there's salt all over it. And, you know, the contents were still there.
Yeah.
Still
usable. The best was the USPS. They're just like, they didn't knock on the door and be like, hey, sorry about this. They just literally just dumped it on my doorstep in a postal box where they were like, don't even return this. Here's just this like mail collection box. They just dumped it in there with this
broken
box
open.
That's broken. That was interesting to say the least. That it was the USPS at its lowest. But coming back,
that was a couple years back. Hopefully, you know, they've improved.
Yeah. Well, who knows? They've certainly had to, you know, do a lot more mailing these days with COVID. But I got a couple cards sent your way, and once I get final versions of that NK Captain Natasha Kerensky card, I'll send it out. But it is gorgeous. I have a copy. Where am I? I'll pull it out here. It's somewhere. We'll cut this out. You saw this one, Mark, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
Well, I got my new Feldar case here. Yeah. Thing's gorgeous.
It is. It's absolutely beautiful. Very playable. Very playable.
Cool. Well, yeah, you guys, I'll get that out. It'll be on my next printout.